Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, you got it! It's time for episode 661 of Who Charted, the show where comedians discuss the top five songs and movies of the week. Congratulations, you have passed checkpoint Burning Man on the road to late summer 2023. I'm your host, H. Michael Cray, a.k.a. Chart Linklater, Howard Kramer. And with me, as always, Brett Peter VPM Morris, a.k.a. Starred. What's up, Starred?
What's up, man? Good to be here. I don't think we have even passed Burning Man, right? Aren't they all stuck there?
Well, I know they were allowed to leave yesterday. I was saying that that's a great sign of a festival when you're allowed to leave at some point.
And isn't Moshe Kasher stuck there, or did he find his way out? Was he allowed to leave?
I wasn't checking Instagram. I know he's gone every other year. Do you know that he
I think
was out
he
there?
Was there, and I'm pretty sure he was stuck there for a bit. I don't know.
Wow. Was like a few years ago, I know he got Natasha to go with him. She used to always make fun of that. He goes all the time, and then she got him to go. I wonder if they were stuck out there as a family.
God, I can't even imagine a more un-Natasha place than Burning Man.
I know. She didn't complain about it that much. I think they glamped it pretty much, that's possible
for sure,
out there.
For sure.
But yeah, shelter in place. I was like, isn't that what Burning Man is? Isn't that kind of redundant? Shelter in place.
Aren't you supposed to already have survival supplies? All ready to go. Figured.
So hopefully they were prepared. But maybe we'll get to some stories about that a little bit later. Let's bring in our guest. Let's find out if he was stuck out of that mud. Here he comes now. You know him from comedy all over. Wow. Earwolf alumnus. Stitcher alumnus. And guess what, gang? He's going on a big tour, and then you could see him do a live taping at Lincoln Lodge in Chicago on November 11th, or catch any of the other dates. Please welcome to the charts, Dan Van Kirk.
Hello.
Hello.
Thanks for having me. It's been a very long time. Good to see you both.
Yes, you too. Sorry it's under such tough circumstances, as I know you are a fan of Jimmy Buffett, who lost just this past week.
It very much so. In my friend group, there's 16 of us. We've all been friends since we were like anywhere from 5 to 14 years old. And at every wedding, we play A Pirate Looks at 40, and we all kind of like group up, and it's been a thing we've done since people started getting married. And in the Midwest, that's about 20, 21 people started getting married. And we just did it last week before he...
Wait, so they're 21 years old and they're singing A Pirate Looks at 40?
Yeah, we've loved it since high school. We've loved that song.
Wow, that's great. That's funny.
Go ahead.
No, I just came to it later on when it was actually like pretty relevant. And it's just funny to think of like guys being that wistful when they're like not even out of college.
It is so
yet.
True. Like I remember loving it in high school when we would we would listen to, all of the like Alice in Chains and Candlebox and Mad Season and all that stuff.
Wait, where was this?
Rochelle, Illinois.
Yeah. Oh, okay, Rochelle.
And we Temple of the Dog, all that stuff, Soundgarden. I'll just keep going, but I won't. But our buddy Grant Manning was kind of, I think through his dad, was like the parrot head and introduced a lot of us to, although I do remember the very first time I heard it was in junior high at Lori Sparks's house playing her dad, Scott Sparks, great guy, RIP, playing his LPs and listening to Come Monday.
And right on. Yeah, it's one of my top five.
Oh my gosh. And so, you know, there's songs, this, I guess this applies to Pirate Looks at 40. There's just certain songs that even though they don't apply to you yet, you can feel the beauty in them, like the art of it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And you don't know yet, like, what that's going to mean to you later. But like you were saying, as I've gotten older,
like
I've gotten
She's Only 17 by Winger.
There is a small window for that, the love of that song. Yeah. And it is in high school.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying, though. It is funny because even Come Monday, I was already living in L.A. when I heard, you know, the lyrics of I spent four lonely days in a brown L.A. haze.
Yeah.
And
I just want you back by my side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can see it connecting, I guess, all the way into the Midwest to young guys. That's awesome that you guys had that music to bond on.
Oh my gosh, Son of a Sailor. But on the fun side of things, fun side of Buffett, I found myself one year. So whenever Jimmy Buffett played Vegas, it was always in October. It was like the second or third week of October. And all of the Parrot Heads, fittingly enough, would stay at the Flamingo. And then they would do a Parrot Head takeover, unofficial. But there's 600 of them. And right. I found myself.
And they fit in already to the decor yes. and everything.
And I found myself at the Parrot Head, like unofficial convention at the Flamingo because he played at like New York or MGM or something like that. But they would all stay there. And that was like.
That must have been a drunken melee from.
The most fun people. This was years and years and years ago. And then I've even been to the Margaritaville Resort on Lake Conroe in Texas outside
really?
Of Houston.
Oh, wow. How's yeah. that?
It is, if you took a Margaritaville and said, what if we put some rooms over there? It's a pretty nice, like, it is a very nice resort, but it's so...
Like did they play just Jimmy Buffett and Kenny Chesney?
All of that. Yeah. And yeah. Doobie Brothers.
It's the like restaurant into, with cots.
Yeah. They'll dip into a 70s light rock. But, you know, I'll call it what it is. It is very nice. They did a good job with it, but you're still paying $19 for a $7 burger.
Because, yeah.
And it's not that great. You know yeah. what I mean?
And you're in Texas. You're not even on the Gulf. You're not even in the, you're not even by salt water. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I love it. And my only regret is that I never got to see him live. I never did.
Oh, right on. Yeah. I was lucky enough to see him at the Hollywood Bowl in 2015.
How was it?
It was amazing. It was like every single person there was drunk.
Like, of course.
There was, you know, Parrot Heads and the Grass Skirts, and then there was just other people, but everybody there was having a good time. It was kind of, I went to see the Grateful Dead once, and although I was like, you know, feeling like this is cringy to my sensibilities,
sure.
there was a camaraderie there that's and a the brotherhood.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing, like, as much as those bands that we were talking about earlier, the Soundgarden, Alice in Chains, all that stuff, the thing with a Jimmy Buffett concert is there is no one there who showed up with a bad attitude.
Yeah.
No one came much. There to like get some anger out about what happened to them in their past and are hoping for a mosh.
Right. No one, yeah, banging their heads.
No. Right.
That's what I like about them. I like Parrot Heads almost more than the Deadheads because like it's just a pure philosophy of like relaxation
yeah.
and like vacation energy, man. Like,
yeah,
fuck
I love,
it.
I love the yeah, yeah. down with the dead, but there is a little bit of gatekeeping yeah. with Deadheads. They're a little bit more for gatekeepier, sure. but yeah, Jimmy Buffett people are like, I think there's room in this bar. Like they don't care.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, right. yeah. Yeah.
They also make the best furries, the Parrot Head furries. sure. They dress as parrots and yeah. fuck each other in costume.
Love that. Love that.
Right, I will revisit some more Buffett as we go. But right now, let's get into the music chart, and I will quickly wrap the history of recorded music. Here we go.
There we go.
Music. We used to play LPs. 8 tracks, cassettes, and CDs. Now we download and we stream. What's next, ChatGPT? Tunes. Did I say it right?
Yeah, you got it.
Thank you. GPT.
Chart milestone.
What about you, Daniel? Has AI, besides the strike and all that, has AI affected the way that you work? Do you use Chat GPT?
I do not, but our producer for Pen Pals, mine and Rory Scovel's podcast that everybody should check out if they haven't. People just send us letters. We write you back in audio form.
Right on.
It's a really fun show.
That sounds fun.
Our producer uses an AI tool for the editing. So it like can pick up where the, like, cause we don't live edit. So we do a 3 or 4 camera shoot, depending if there's a guest. It'll do a pretty good job of putting the camera on who's speaking.
Oh, and then our producer
can kind of then go in and just finesse it, but it saves, I think it saves like an hour, hour and a half, and you can watch it just go like it just cuts it. So that sort of stuff I'm good
that's
with.
That's interesting.
You don't need the TriCaster anymore. Like the old, remember when AVN used to come in to Earwolf?
They had a whole pit crew come in with that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you just got GPT on it.
Yeah. I'm okay with AI doing some type of technical work. I just am not okay with any creative endeavors.
Yeah. Well, people are using it as a shortcut to, setting up scripts and stuff like that. And then we've used it to write songs right here on air, and they wind up being like longer than an Iron Maiden song.
Do you think AI could ever keep up with the Sklar's?
Damn,
you work with them a lot. That'd be almost funny to just
the
see
third Sklar.
But did you guys see that clip that went viral with, Jerry Seinfeld is now doing clips too. So that's where we're at. He's doing like a Q&A, and somebody asked him if they thought AI would like ever be able to take over stand up. And he said, no, I think this is great. He goes, no, because AI can only get smarter, and good comedy is often about dumbing things down and pointing out like the dumb. It doesn't know how to go the other way.
Right.
To make a point.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Like measuring the dumbness.
Right.
Where you're a smart guy saying a dumb thing.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, when stand-up's going badly, that I think AI could definitely mimic. Like that would not be hard for it.
100% agree.
We don't need humans for that. All right. Well, what chart do we have this week?
All right. I'm going to the Apple Music top 5 in the USA chart.
Right on.
All right. So coming in at number 5.
Number 5.
Zach Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a country guy?
Yeah, he's a new guy.
I already know the song you're going to say. Very authentic.
Hey Driver.
Oh, no, I'm wrong.
Featuring The War and Treaty.
Were you thinking Luke Bryan or Zach?
No, Zach. I'm with Zach, but this song came out. The song I'm thinking came out a couple, like the 24th of August.
I think we might see that one you're thinking of later on this chart. Here we go. Hey Driver.
All right, man. I'm ready when y'all are.
This is your song, Mike. Let's do it.
All right. Here we go. One.
The cold open.
Three. So take me down the road that's a little bit windy, to a place they still put sugar in their iced tea, where the women are fine and the love is fair. Yeah, driver, you can drive me off anywhere.
Hey, driver,
pull on. I need an address.
I'm in a fight with God. It's Carolina's shoulder. Seems the place I'm getting off. Daddy always told me, never make a home on the road while your lady's sneaking out and the kids are growing old.
Hey, drive, I've been riding.
Yeah, it's real homespun sounding.
Yeah.
We are in an era, guys, of it. Yeah. It is country music and hip hop. And you know what? If you guys are old enough, you might remember this. It's similar to 1992 with what Garth Brooks did while hip hop was also.
Oh, yeah. He got big.
Yeah. And country became very cool for about like 5 to 6 years. And I think it dipped a little bit. And then now in terms of the zeitgeist, I'm speaking. But we are in a everybody loves country music
When there's tough times, it speaks to the travails of the common man in this economy. You know what I think is funny about that one? In the beginning, he's almost kind of like saying, this isn't my song. If it doesn't go good,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, play that again?
Yeah.
Do it. It felt a little like there is no snare in my headphones.
Exactly. That's the folksy version of it.
Like, yeah. You guys don't like this, it ain't me. I didn't do it.
All right, coming in number four.
Number four.
Oh, here we go. This is Oliver Anthony Music with Richmond, North of Richmond. Let's see here.
Rich politicians look out for miners, and not just miners on an island somewhere.
I got to the goods.
Yeah, you did.
I fast forwarded right to the line.
Nothing to miners. Eat, and the obese milk and welfare. Well, God, if you're 5 foot three and you're 300 pounds, taxes ought not to pay for your bags of fudge rounds. Young men are putting themselves 6 feet in.
I do like how he says ought not. Like that feels like the right kind of language for this kind of stuff.
Like he's a whaler from Old Hartford.
Yeah, it's like Sling Blade.
The melody and the voice is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, it's great.
It is absolutely beautiful. Did you guys saw the thing where he made a statement after the Republican debate?
Yes. That kind of turned around my opinion of him a little bit. Like, I still think it's ridiculous. Well,
yeah,
but
I think so too.
I was just happy to see all those people who were so sure that he was their man.
So sure.
Just get like, just in one little clip.
And it's because he has that part where he says it's about them more than, he does say it's about everybody, but he goes, it's about you more than anybody else.
Yes. And I like that.
I've always, I talk about this a lot. There's a lot of people on, and I don't like being divisive, but I can't help what the world is. There's a lot of people on our side of the fence socially that annoy the shit out of me as well.
Of course.
I can get behind a thing. And also the part you chose is so perfect, but
yeah,
I'm willing, if he were to go, look, dude, I don't fucking know. I'm just writing a country song and I'm trying to make a point.
Right.
I would go, I could get, if from a comedic standpoint, I could get behind that too. Like where I'm like, that just worked for the fucking thing, man. I don't, but everything's so hot button, especially in that regard.
Right.
But he said that, he was like, that wasn't even a song that he really played a lot. Like some woman was coming over to do some story on him locally.
Yeah.
And then he just like threw that one together and played it.
Really?
And then that's the one that went out. But he had only played this farmer's market in his town. And then after the song came out, there was like 6,000 people at the farmer's market to go
that's
see
insane.
Him.
Insane. Well, the that's video hilarious. YouTube, it looks like he's just standing in a gorge with a banjo.
That's totally. What I'm saying. Like, there's no audience when he's singing that. But then I'm saying, like, when he takes it to the farmer's market and goes, if you're 5 foot three, 300 pounds, like, they're all standing there. Like, you know what I mean? It's kind of like doing fat jokes.
Yeah.
And, you know,
that reminds me of like I think there's a Simpson joke like that where there's some concert where they're like, wait, that's us. I can't.
Yeah. That's so funny thinking about getting your vegetables and stuff and hearing somebody that angry on the mic.
Yeah. Oh my God. You just wanted a zucchini.
Yeah.
He just hates people who's 5'3. He doesn't care what political party.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know what? Howard, this is why I love you. That is so perfect because everybody's focusing on the weight and the food.
Yeah.
There is just a whole swath of people, men and women, who are like, the fuck? I'm 5'3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
Like the
short people with Randy
that.
Newman. Like, what's the what? What the fuck?
Right. And as much as I don't care, I can't not recognize that for them, they must be like, fuck this song.
Yeah, fuck this. Right. You're like the, what was the bagel guy? What you think?
Oh, yes.
The bagel guy.
That bagel guy got me through some tough times.
Unbelievable. Classic video.
Right on. Wow, we're all country so far. All country so far.
Yeah.
Oh, there you
go. All right. Coming in at number three.
Number three.
Gunna with Fuck You Mean.
Give me a stick of they purse. Y'all don't want it, they working my nerves. I'm about to pull some serve. Fucking this bitch like a perm. Smack on the back of a perm. Ice, the bird. Shitting on all you little turds. Can't take that dick, waste your turn. In my own lane, we can't merge.
Dude, it's wild, like you were saying about country and hip hop.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then the country has to make a point and be poignant and strike you in the heart or something. And then this is just like, ah, I fucked her. I stuck a banger perm.
I don't like that lyric about turd or something. He's just shitting something like a turd. It's like,
it's not suitable.
I don't know why. Not suitable. Yeah.
But do you remember this is how we ended up with that Tim McGraw Nelly song? In the wake of the last time it being the 90s big popular country. So somebody's going to do that. I mean, there's partially why we ended up with
They've been doing it.
Biscuit and Uncle Cracker. Yeah.
No, there's just Florida Georgia Line and all these bands.
Yes, I forgot about that. Yeah. You're right.
And now there's actually a lot more black artists doing it. It used to be like, wow, this white guy's rapping a little bit, but there weren't a lot of... you just didn't see that many black entrants into the country charts and stuff.
Sure. Yeah.
And now there's a lot more. There's a lot more. So that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. You mentioned Nelly. I feel like he's owed almost like an apology from, like, he's so ahead of his time in that way.
Sure.
Like country grammar and all that. I don't know. It never really connected. Like, hey, this is a guy doing something like quite new here.
Do you guys, can I ask you guys a question?
Yeah.
Like inside baseball question about the show. Since you're always tapped into the zeitgeist, have you ever thought about like, or do you feel it when it comes up that somebody was in the right place for nostalgia for maybe 3 or 4 years ago, people would be like, what is this? But now it's kind of come, it's been long enough. Like if Nelly dropped a verse right now on a Drake song, people would go nuts for it, I feel like, because it's kind of like been long enough. Whereas if he had done that in 2011, 2012, people would have been like, why the fuck is a Nelly on a, like, you guys ever feel that? Like you're tapped into also nostalgia's timeline while also doing the zeitgeist?
You definitely see like certain people just all of a sudden rise up, even though they're not new artists, they rise up and become beloved.
Well, we're seeing, I think now we're seeing a big, you know, obviously the 90s have been back in a big way. And I think we're seeing it bleed into the early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm seeing like, we're now seeing the Creed reunion tour. Yeah, like they're the coming cruise, back, you know, and I feel like there's a certain portion of people who are like past the age of just roasting Creed every day.
Right. Yeah.
And then now they're like, there's that portion of people who are ready to see them come back.
Dude, I remember.
It's like there's always that pendulum swing.
I remember probably 5 or 6 years ago, Rolling Stone, for whatever people want to think about them anymore in terms of music, but they did a thing of like top 10 alt rock albums of the 90s and Creed's My Own Prison or whatever their first one was on there. And they were like, forget everything you know that comes after this. If you could listen to this into a vacuum, you're like, this is a great album. Like it is very of the time, but like it all worked really, really well. And I think
if you weren't aware of all those bands you listed earlier, Alice in Chains and all them, you'd be like, oh, hey, they got a sound, you know, if you know all of those, then you can't get over it.
If you weren't aware of any bands.
Yeah. Okay,
we get your side of this fence. But I feel like in the last year, you've seen a lot of pro Nickelback, of people being like, it's not cool.
Yeah, there's the counter take.
Because
you know?
Of nostalgia, it's a spotlight that moves. And if you find yourself in that window, you can hit. I really like the sound of this song, by the way.
I feel like you can feel yourself. Maybe you'll relate to this. Or like, as we age, you can feel the dad opinions like start to sink in, where you're like, I'm not moving off of my Nickelback take. Like, I'll fucking die on this hill complaining about Nickelback. Meanwhile, the kids now are softening up on it. They don't see the big deal. Like, why do you?
But then also, cut to you at a wedding in the final 45 minutes, photograph comes on and you're like, you are.
Then I'm going, you know what? Why was I so hard on this? Like, or compared to today's music.
It just turns it up a notch and you have a lot of fun with it on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, nobody was really that hard on Def Leppard. I mean, they had very little resistance.
It's very true.
Even punk rock people like that album.
That's wild.
That's true.
That's wild. A lot of hits.
All right, coming in at number two.
Number two.
Doja Cat, Paint the Town Red.
Mm-hmm. Loving my energy. You can't talk no shit without penalties. Bitch, I'm in your shit if you send for me. I'm going to glow up one more time, trust me. I have magical foresight. You gon' see me sleeping in courtside. You gon' see me eating 10 more times, ugh. You can't take that bitch nowhere, ugh. I look better with no hair, ugh. Ain't no sign I can't smoke hair, ugh. Yeah. Give me the chance and I'll go there. Bitch, I said what I said. I'd rather be famous instead. I let all that get to my head. I don't care. I paint the town red. Bitch.
There you go.
Doja.
I mean, saying, ugh. I know you've heard it a lot. Ugh. What is your guys' take on that?
I just hear the walk on by. I mean, I just hear the Herb Alpert or whatever that is. I just hear that. I think of Austin Powers. But it's good. I mean, she raps. She sounds a little like Nicki on that one. Mm-hmm. She's making ugh noises. Yeah. I mean, it's not one of my favorites from her.
But it
I
also
think it's
plays
okay.
In. Oh, go. Sorry, bro.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say, I like it, but I feel like once you hear it once, that feels like enough. I like the video though. If you've seen the video, it's very cool. And it's very, that was causing some controversy because it's very like Satan focused. Mm. Or she has like the Reaper next to her and she's dressed as like a demon. And it looks pretty cool.
I worked with her once. She was great.
Really?
Before she blew up. Yeah. And she was awesome. And seeing her perform, I'm like, whoa, this is, she worked her ass off and you could tell like she.
Well, what knows. Kind of work was it? Were you guys at a restaurant together?
Yeah, it was in the break room. We got yelled at all the time. I'd be like, sing another song. Like, you guys have to get on the floor.
The fajitas are hot. Take them out.
Yeah.
She was great. She always did her side work. She worked really hard, very detailed.
Showtime has brought me on a few years to assist with the AVN and GayVN awards. And she was like for writing and stuff, and she was a performer for the GayVN Awards back in like 2018, maybe 2019.
Okay, she crushed.
Yeah.
Was she a goofball? She seems like
she was pretty locked in. I think you know? I think it was because you know maybe more so because it was before she blew up. She was very like
yeah.
You know, you remember when you're starting out, and even still, like shows can mean so much so she was pretty locked in. But she was really great to work with and awesome, and her performance was great. But
Creed also was played there, right?
Yes, yeah. They actually hosted, and it was a big conflict for them personally, but they needed the gig.
Stop.
So I like that. Did her song Rules ever make your guys' top five? Was that a big thing?
Which one is it?
I don't remember that one.
It's called Rules. All right. It's very, it's probably too vulgar to ever make the top five, but I like her. I like that song. She played with nostalgia, like we were just saying, like the sample something that can rope people in.
Her Coachella set really kind of blew my mind. Like she just went so all out on it and all the songs were totally reimagined with this like incredible band. And it was just like, oh, I'm seeing a real entertainer here. It wasn't just somebody like lip syncing her songs or whatever.
Check out Rules. It's very, we're at a pool in Vegas, but not the parrot head variety.
Okay. all right. Coming in at number one.
Number one.
Here's Zach Bryan again. Maybe this is the song you're thinking of. I Remember Everything featuring Casey Musgraves.
Rod girl and whiskey's gonna ease my mind. Beach towel dress on the drying line. Do I remind you of your daddy in his 88 Ford? Labrador hanging out the passenger door. The sand from your hair is blowing in my eyes. Blame it on the beach, grown men don't cry. Do you remember that beat down basement couch? I'd sing you my love songs and you'd tell
me. Sounds like a Lana Del Rey song.
I feel that way too.
Oh, hubble, 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 hubble. The beach is sad. Hubble, hubble.
Wow, yeah.
It's well, maybe gloom. Someone will remix it. They got to speed that thing up. I love hearing about the beach, but that was that was like a day when it's too hot. Sapping me.
It sounded a little bit like I'm on fire, but like an even slow version.
Yeah. Oh, great. That's perfect.
I like his lyrics. I like his authenticity. I like his voice. Mm-hmm. But this is one of those kind of like, it's not that fun to listen to. Like, it's authentic, but it's like a little downtrodden.
Yeah, I don't know. I always think contextually, like, where does a song like that live in your life? And I feel like if any of us were like making a short about a guy who drove around at night, like looking for somebody, like you perfect put that in, you know?
Yeah.
Obviously, a lot of these songs too. This is the thing I feel a lot about New Country. A lot of people are making songs for episodes of Sons of Anarchy that never aired.
Yes. Yes, that's great.
You just tied it all together. That makes so much sense.
It's like so poignant, but only if you like your character just shot somebody, you know, like,
right.
You need the visuals with
it. Yeah. You need Katie Seagal like in the shadows.
That's there a are whole like genre.
There is a kind of, you know, obviously downtrodden or depressing type of song that is something that you would listen to like in the car or something.
Sure,
sometimes these are so laid on, so thick that I would be like cringing at myself if I was just listening to this, you know?
Yeah. Well, it all depends on your level of self-awareness, but I'm going to drop a song that you guys might know.
If you were waiting for AAA, like your car is out of commission. Like,
perfect.
I could see.
Yeah. And you use the last 2% of your battery to just wail out on that one.
Yeah.
But those songs, you're right though. They live in a place. Like there's a song called The Reason Why by Rachel Yamagata. And it's one of the most beautiful songs, but it is so on the nose and so sad that you have to have been dumped within hours for it to like be able to fit in a window of your life.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think hundreds of years from now, they'll say like, why was every song supposed to bring people down? You know, I think they'll work on the percentages. I mean, Van Halen, no ballads. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They never, I mean, it makes they never a difference chose to go down.
Over like every metal band and every hair metal band after them always went to the ballad. And
The second single was the ballad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like,
and who do we remember? Van Halen. Thank you. Right on. Okay. Well, that was the music chart and we'll be right back with the movie chart.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's a great fan, Brent.
It's a great what?
Fan. It's a very artistic.
Like, oh, thank you. I liked
the set
it.
Of Aviator.
Yeah, it's like one of those Palm Springs wind farm fans.
I spent a long time looking for one that I liked when I had never even considered before, like what a fan should look like.
Mm-hmm.
But then you realize so like you have an opinion on it.
Right. It goes back to what Howard, what you said about your perspective changing as you get older. I've always said, like, you're an adult when you sit in somebody's house and are like, I bet those curtains were expensive.
No, yeah. Yeah. Great
there's,
fan.
Yeah. There's no, you never think about the fucking curtains when your whole life's in front of you.
No. Or when you start getting in conversations with friends about interest rates, you're just like, all right, I'm a full-blown adult now. Yeah. Like, I never saw this coming.
It's over. I'll never be artistically viable again.
All right.
We're back?
Yes, we are back.
I'm H. Michael Cray, and I'm here with my guest, Dan Van Kirk, and
Brett Morris.
And this is The Movie Chart. Sorry. Movies, they used to be too silent. Nowadays, they're too loud and violent. For most of them, I am not a client. People on the big screen, freaking giant. Movies. All right.
All right. Bars.
Let's see what's bringing them back into the theaters.
Okay, coming in number five.
Number five.
Hanging around on the charts, it's Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer.
We'll never get the best.
Why would we go to the middle of nowhere?
Burning Man.
Who knows how long?
Burning Man.
That's great.
Why? Why? How about because this is the most important thing to ever happen in the history of the world?
Burning Man.
You're the great improviser, but this...
That little shot of Albert Einstein just looking sad is so funny to me. Like, I know this is obviously like supposed to be a really good, important movie, but that's sure.
What he that looks little like a shot fake
does
Einstein?
Not look important to me. Yeah. Yeah. It looks like a drunk Einstein. History scene.
Oh, you know? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's funny. Oh, that's so funny.
Hey, do we have a white wig laying around set? We got to shoot that Einstein.
Yeah.
Today. Is there a drunk history of Oppenheimer?
You would think so.
Yeah. Somebody do it now. Do you guys both saw that movie?
You know, they're remaking Drunk History, but now that Derek's older, he just enjoys the alcohol like his dad.
Yeah. Right.
Well played. Well played.
I haven't seen Oppenheimer. Have
no.
you?
No. Yes. Oh, okay. I saw it in 70mm IMAX.
And oh, cool.
It was quite impressive. I enjoyed it a lot.
Nice. Yeah. How was the music volume?
That's so fucking loud.
I feel like Chris Nolan films, they jack it up too much for me. Like,
oh, I'm sure he sets a criteria. And
yeah,
you've seen Interstellar?
Yes, I remember
that. I don't know if
people
have told you, but it's a lot of that. It's like in between lines of dialogue. And I was actually thinking about the script while watching it. In between lines of dialogue, it must say, cut to a star explode. Like, it'll cut into like beautiful star or like chemical movement or something like that. And it's so loud when it does it.
Yeah.
But it also feels, and I wouldn't fault anybody for not liking it, but it feels so cultivated. Like this is exactly the movie he wants to make. And there's probably what, 5-6 directors who can do that.
Right. Yeah.
But you guys are saying the music swells while people are talking.
It'll interject the middle of a conversation. It'll cut to like some stars, some sort of nuclear reaction, be super loud, and then jarringly like jump cut back to the conversation.
Oh, yeah. Cuts.
Yeah. And I remember the Interstellar music being so loud.
Mm-hmm.
I
watched it with earplugs in. I'm not kidding.
I believe you. I'll tell you another Christopher Nolan thing. Dunkirk was... got a lot of response from people saying too loud. A friend of mine who got shot in Afghanistan, he saw it the same weekend I did, and I wanted to
ask. He said it was louder than when he really got shot?
He said that volume is what it felt like. That's what it sounded like. And
oh my God.
He also said that movie got a lot of flack because there's huge swaths of time where no one's speaking. And he said, when you're in a firefight, that is what it's like. There is not much to fucking say. You only need to look at people and know what needs to happen. So for somebody who had been in one, he found it to be acoustically, if that's the right word, or audibly very close. And the way it was told to be representative of what that's like. Which for me, I was like, oh, there's so many people who will never hear that perspective. But
yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
So
I was hoping it would... I was hoping he was saying it was too loud. So he goes, it's louder than the damn battle. And then they finally turn it down for everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
He walks out with his Bronze Star and Purple Heart that he has and be like, turn it down.
Yeah.
He goes over to the box office, give me another one. I need another Purple Heart sitting through that.
Yeah.
Okay, coming in at number four.
Number four.
Gran Turismo.
What are we gonna do?
Oh, shut up! I'm not missing my race.
I'm gonna
puke. Don't pick my dad's car.
It's an insane true story.
Yeah.
Yes, they're not going to jail.
I don't know what the true story is.
They're not in America, correct?
Correct.
But the video game was in America, wasn't it?
It was a global release, but it was. I'm pretty sure it probably dropped first, or at least if not simultaneously for.
The video game didn't have any story to it, though. Mm-mm. It's just like pick out a car.
Race.
You know, enter the race.
Gotcha. Okay.
I suppose that is the true story. People do that every day, but I don't know what this story is.
There've been a lot of street takeovers here in LA. There's like a lot of I've been seeing it on the news.
Yeah.
A lot of people just go into an intersection, start doing donuts and stuff.
Wild.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, street races. Mm-hmm. All kinds of smash and grabs. There's a lot going on in the streets of LA right
now.
The weekend that they opened the 4th Street Bridge or reopened it in downtown, didn't they quickly have to shut it down because people spent all weekend street racing it?
That makes sense. Yep,
I'm pretty sure. I'm directionally correct, if nothing else.
Man, it's been a long time since I've been in a donut. Like, did you guys ever do donuts as teens, young adults? It is a pretty fun thing to do.
Well, Rochelle, Illinois, if it's just about 1 inch, 1-2 inches of snow, you would just go to the high school parking lot and just spin out.
Totally. Yeah, you just spin. Feels like a good idea at that age.
It really does.
All right, coming in at number three.
Number three.
Blue Beetle.
Looked?
What the hell is that?
How did you get it to do that?
I think he likes me.
It's on your face! Get it off!
Is that George Lopez?
Yes.
Damn! This ain't what you want. This ain't what
you want. Wow, it is.
Yeah.
This ain't what you want. This ain't what you want.
That's weird seeing George Lopez in a superhero movie.
Yeah.
What the?
Host acquired.
Who said that? It's okay. It's gonna be okay!
Wow. We're seeing the entire origin story in this trailer.
Oh, yeah.
I don't feel like I need to see the movie now.
I feel like I have seen it. I'll be honest. I watched a little Black Adam this weekend. I felt like seen it. I watched a little Aquaman. I felt like I'd seen it. I watched a little Shazam. I felt like I'd seen it.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're bleeding together unless they do something different. I don't know. Have you guys seen this one, Blue Beetle?
No, but I've heard it was decently reviewed.
Let me look at the reviews.
They get decent reviews. Then when it's time for me to watch them,
I need
78 heart to get 78 on Rotten Tomatoes.
That number is enough for me if I've got if I'm on the road and we got 5 hours to kill in Nashville. Let's go. I mean, it's either Honky Tonk or Blue Beetle.
Yeah,
honky tonking in the daytime. I guess so. Yeah, it's one of those deals. If I was on a plane, if I was killing time, I was away from home and my loved ones, and all that meant something to me, everything that kept me anchored in my own personality.
Yeah,
I'd check it out.
Fair enough.
I wonder how much the critics are just sort of beaten into submission at this point with the superhero movies. You know.
Yeah, but this is DC, so there's also like a field day on DC that, you know what I mean?
Maybe they're just like, we got to give them one. We got to let up on them.
Before James Gunn gets in there and gets his fault, we got to give him one.
Yeah. All right, coming in at number two.
Number two.
Barbie. Coming down the charts.
Hey, Barbie. Can I come to your house tonight?
Sure. I don't have anything big planned, just a giant blowout party with all the Barbies and planned choreography and a bespoke song. You should stop by.
So
So cool.
You know what's good about this movie? It's gonna blow out the color pink. Like, pink is gonna be a played out color, like, in like next year, next few years. Right. It's gonna be like, oh no, my older sister did that.
Yeah, that's it.
And like Messi's playing on Miami now, and it's just pink uniforms. Like, this is the summer of pink. I think we got to move to a new palette next year.
You guys saw this, I'm sure. I haven't seen it yet.
I do want to see it though.
It's quite good. Awesome. It's exceptionally smart. Yeah. I hope they don't do a sequel.
You hope they do not. You think they're not going to be able to left it all on the field. Because
part of it is the surprise. Like, you go to Oppenheimer, you got a pretty idea of what you're going to see.
Right.
And by now, of course, if you haven't seen Barbie, you know that it's higher brow than you think it's going to be. But it's still, you haven't seen it and experienced it. It catches you like, oh, wow, you're going this direction. If they do that again, that's a lot of the...
I know what you mean. It's kind of like Lego Movie, like when it turns real in the middle, like it's an exciting thing. And then it's just like, to do it again, it wouldn't have the same element.
Right. Yeah. But, that has never stopped Hollywood before.
Yeah, they'll be there. Yeah. Jaws was perfect. Well, look,
perfect.
They had to make more.
All right. Coming in at number one.
Number one.
The Equalizer 3.
Oh, Denzel.
Wow.
Imagine knowing the difference between these movies.
The Equalizers.
The third one is when he killed those guys
with a stopwatch.
9 seconds.
It's good to see Denzel back, though. There you go.
So trouble found him in Italy. He found trouble, I guess.
Yeah, they ran into each other again.
I mean, at some point, it's just like the Jackie Chan, right? Like, oh, the convenience store he works at. These guys are trying to mess their way in. Like,
this time, he's in New Orleans. Yeah.
But Denzel is so good.
He's great. I mean, it's like a Liam Neeson move for like a quality actor to then do the old man, beat him up. Kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
All of Liam Neeson's movies rely on cell reception. That's my big.
Yeah.
If he misses one of those calls, the whole movie's over.
Right. There's a shocking amount of movies that cell phones kind of ruin, you know? Like, that's why I totally understand it when you want to make your movie, your action movie, based in a time before iPhones.
100%.
Because that just would ruin the whole thing. If you're able to text who you need to get a hold of.
Because your first hurdle is, why didn't someone look this up? Why didn't somebody call somebody? Why?
Right.
So you really, a big part of your script writing, which we've all done, is the cleverest way you can explain why no one used or had access to their phone.
Right, right.
Exactly.
Which is why someone needs to do a horror movie.
In horror movies, they do that now, I feel like. There's some reason they don't have their phones and they have to get out of the way.
You're seeing the chat. You're seeing the text and the text explaining why it's happening. Yeah.
But somebody should do a horror movie that takes place at the Comedy Works in Denver, where they take your phones away as you walk in.
There you go.
It's locked up. Or how about at Burning Man this past weekend, where there's really no phone reception out there.
Yeah.
So the people are stuck there in a very sort of different situation.
Yeah. The Burning Man is like, everybody who's told me, you got to go, you become one with the earth. It just takes everything back to the days where things are simple. And then this year, Earth was like, all right, let's get together. And people were like, I'm out. I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
But I've heard from some people who stayed that they were
need to evacuate.
Desert. Yeah. I've heard from some people who stayed that they're like, well, it's the desert. It dries out really fast. So it's actually okay pretty quickly. But some people were out. Chris Rock. You see Chris Rock left with Diplo?
Oh, yeah. I heard the celebrities. They got the celebrities out there. Yeah. Out of there fast. I'll tell you a movie I did see this week that I had never seen before. I texted Howard about it. American Movie the documentary.
Yeah.
I cannot believe I hadn't seen this thing before. And
what do you think?
It's just absolutely brilliant. I'm just like, I want to see Colvin. It five more times. Colvin, you've seen it, right, Dan?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I saw it a long time
ago. It's just such a glorious window into that era.
It's a great one. It's a Thanksgiving movie. Watch it on Thanksgiving.
It is a Thanksgiving movie. That guy has more drive than anyone. You know, it's like by the end, you kind of respect all of them. Yeah.
You know, it's been like 20 years. There should be a follow up to see what happened to his kids. Cause that was the part that I was like, oh, this guy's a dad. Oh no.
Yes. Although I was sad when I looked up, I'm like, I got to know where all these people are at right now. Apparently Mike Shank passed away last year, which is too bad. Okay. He was this, to me, he was the breakout character like that I've seen in the last like 10 years. It's just brilliant.
Just watched it.
Yeah. But
Colvin. Indie horror. Right on. Well, that's what's bringing him back to the theaters. And we'll be right back with the hot picks.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
The hot picks. The hot picks. The third chart is the hot picks, and the countdown's about to start. Let's see who brought a hot pick, and let's see who did not. The hot picks. The hot picks.
These are the hot picks. We'll see if we did better than Spotify. Was that our chart, Spotify?
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
No, we'll probably... it was Apple Music.
But, oh, yeah, Apple.
You know,
we same difference.
Yeah.
Same diff.
Now, I realized, though, is that Apple Music sounds better than Spotify.
Really? That's great to know.
Yeah, there's a lot
know.
Of things that sound better on Apple Music.
Wow, that's great to know. I haven't been on Apple for years. Everybody looks at me like I'm a heretic.
Same.
They do?
Yeah, I don't use Spotify. I just use Apple.
And it looks better, too. I like the white layout as opposed to whatever they're doing over there.
Yeah.
As opposed to the grungy Alice in Chains dark, depressing layout.
It looks like a bad version of Napster.
Yeah. Okay, coming in at number five.
Number five.
Let's start out with a little Buffett as tribute. This is A Pirate Looks at 40, the live 1978 version. You had to be there.
Little song I'm going to do for you now. We'll dedicate this to captains and sailors at sea tonight and bringing in the goodies. I wrote this for an old friend of mine down in Key West who just couldn't quite find his occupation here in the 20th century, you know. Couldn't work at Sears or out, you know, couldn't do that. So he turned to smuggling. Oh, yeah. No. And I guess there's a little bit of pirate in everybody in this room. And
pirate.
Take these names here. But this goes back to me, the Long John Silver and Young Jim Hawkins, and Won't Stop Till I Quit Stopping. This is called A Pirate Looks at 40.
See, he's literary. He's talking about Treasure Island right there.
Yeah.
Raised to be an author.
He said his friend turned to smuggling.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. His occupational hazard is that his occupation wasn't around. That's some good harmonica right there.
mother, mother ocean, I have heard you call, wanted to sail upon your waters since I was 3 feet tall. You've seen it all. You've seen it all. Watch the metal road you switch from sails to steam. In your belly you can hold the treasures.
All right, I got a quiz. Right. I got a quiz.
Yeah. Most of my dreams.
When did boats switch from sail to steam? What decade was that? Sail to steam.
What decade?
I'm saying 1810s.
Hey, 1810?
You said what decade?
Yeah, yeah.
I'll go 1840s.
18, yeah, more like that probably.
1840s.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the answer.
Someone will tell us.
We can look it up.
Yeah, somebody knows.
I would say 1820s.
Oh, the 1780s.
Really?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting.
Wow.
So how did Buffett
I thought
see
you
that?
Were like snickering at me like that I went so early.
And no, I was.
Didn't
I was.
Know.
That was the game. The gambit. I was running there. Yeah. But wow, that is earlier than I expected. Maybe that's when they were invented or something.
Yeah,
you got the Constitution and the steamboat in the same year.
Well, I mean, I guess it is about pirates, right?
Yeah,
so, yeah.
But how'd he say it? He goes, "I watched the men who rode you switch from sail to steam." Was he like reincarnated or something?
Or it's one of those old Sinatra tunes where it's essentially like a acted out song. He's being the pirate while singing that song.
It's a period piece.
Yeah. Yes, good call. Yeah. He did a good job of it on that one too.
Well, I almost wanted to tell you guys in the break, there is something, you know, yes, he became the guy who sold margaritas and had a resort and all those things. But if you dial it back 45, 50 years, it was just an artist who went to Nashville and they told him, we don't fucking want you.
Yeah.
We don't want to hear your fucking music.
Rejected.
And he just went off and played what spoke to him. And we all, I definitely know, respect that. And the zeitgeist found him. And then he found a way to have a niche that never faded. Ever.
Never faded.
Not a fucking ounce. No. So
100% on that. Yeah. It's like, why don't I just, I'll make Florida and the beach a whole thing. You know,
yeah.
I don't need
that. Yeah. It's a summer legend. Yeah. I feel like, you know, within the summer pantheon, it can't be overstated that he waited till September, to September 1st.
September 1st. You know? And,
it's a great
you know, we
point.
Say
he
on
got
the
a
show
full
a lot
summer
to
out of him.
Occupy June. If you want to have a 3 month summer, you got to occupy June because by, it'll be too late if you don't. Mm-hmm. So you need June, July, August. Yeah. And then the big man, yeah, he checked out right there on September 1st. Passing the baton, some say. I wouldn't go that far. But some say to the Have a Summer movement. So shout out to that. And
well, here's
RIP
a second
to the man.
I read Paul McCartney had a really like beautiful tribute to him that I read. And it went way longer than I was expecting. Like, I just didn't know the two of them had been friends, you know?
Sure, yeah.
And you just see the start of a post and you think like, oh, that's nice. That's a nice little tribute. And then you click the like, see more part and it just kept going. And he had these really detailed stories about him. And he was saying how, basically you could be out with, Jimmy anywhere. And he would pick up on people's little phrases and sayings just always and be like, that's a good idea for a song. Oh, that's a good idea for a song. And he was so into fishing and scuba diving and all that. And Paul McCartney said that he, I guess, recorded with him somewhat recently, I think probably within the last decade. And that Jimmy Buffett had this song that he just based off of a phrase from scuba diving called Bubbles Up.
Uh-huh.
And Paul was saying, I've never heard this song, but I really want to hear it for the first time because Paul was saying, that might be the most beautiful melody I've ever heard you write. And you managed to take this phrase that's just like a technical phrase basically from diving, and made this really like beautiful metaphor out of it for life.
It almost sounds like a joke that Paul McCartney's like, how did you do that, Jimmy Buffett? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Who wrote Cheeseburger, the guy in Paradise, who wrote
Let It Be.
To make a mistake, these dumb songs. But that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
like,
awesome.
How did you just hear a phrase like that and make a song out of it?
Yeah.
No, this is Bubbles Up.
From that pressure drop feeling, we're just treading water each day. There's a way to feel better, be well set to weather the storms till the sun shines again. When your compass is spinning and you're lost on the way, like a leaf in the wind, friend, hear me when I say, bubbles up, they will point you towards home. No matter how deep or how far you roam, they will show you the surface, the plot and the purpose. So when the journey gets long, just know that you are loved. There is light up above.
And I can see what he means.
Because it sounds like it could be a, like that could have been a huge Disney song or something from a movie.
Yes, like it does sound like that. Yeah.
I didn't think it was his best melody by far. But,
yeah, I wouldn't say that.
Paul, you know, it happens when a bigger artist dies, the lesser artist will try to glom on.
Yeah, he needed that. Who are we?
Yeah, maybe Paul didn't want him to get too good at melodies. So he's like, right, just stop there. That's the best.
Keeping him down, right? Yeah, that's
great. No, I think he got it. I think that's it right there.
But yeah, when you're underwater, the bubbles go up. I guess that's something you got to look out for if you're feeling lost down there.
It's awesome. I mean, look at Van Halen had Diver Down. Like that, those types of sayings, they're great.
Yeah.
They're oceany.
All right. Well,
yeah, R.I.P.
Duncan Sheik had barely breathing. It all works.
Oh, well, you were going to share something with us, so Dan, about Jimmy.
Oh, no, that was it. The thing I said about Nashville.
Oh, okay. We'll cut that.
Okay.
All right, back to the true hot picks. Coming in number three. This is Dan's pick. This is the Teskey Brothers with Rain.
Mm-hmm.
They Australian, I'm reading here.
Maybe
they're from Burning Man.
Some real Otis Redding energy.
I know it's hard. You should Google what this guy looks like, Brent.
I'm seeing this right now, and he looks like a Hemsworth.
Yeah.
He's like this
really
super handsome white guy with a ponytail.
Let me see.
All right, yeah, let me show you. And I
know it's hard. No way.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Wow, he looks like Brad Pitt or something.
Yeah. From Melbourne.
Wow. He must get all the Sheilas. That's something.
Yeah.
That's like in the Elvis movie when Colonel Tom Parker finds out he's white.
Yes.
He finds out that Elvis is white.
Yes.
Oh, shit. Money.
Can you imagine being like, I think this is, I sing like this. I sound like Otis Redding when I
can just do this,
but not a exact imitation to where people go, oh, you just have that same
quality.
You live in the same
yeah
you're like, oh well, that's my superpower.
Yes.
And I'm super good looking. I can.
You're not supposed to have both. That's what pisses me off. You can't have both.
What do you, in music you are. Do you know how many times in music they're gorgeous? And, I mean,
that, look, that is Whitney. True. Yeah.
It's it's comedy where it's harder.
True.
It's harder for us because of our looks, but we, you know, we still get people. Yeah.
We're all gorgeous, but we got
Exactly. You know, people don't take us seriously because of our looks, but we have jokes.
Stuff out there.
That was a great reveal. But the Teskeys.
Yeah.
And it does look like he was Australian, right?
Yes, Melbourne.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, Melbourne.
Yeah. Is there another one, or he just calls himself Brothers?
I think there is. I think that video, I think they just wanted to do a very simple, like...
Oh, yeah, where's the rest of the Teskeys?
I haven't seen them. I've only ever seen him.
Oh, wow.
Where maybe are they at, man? Where are your brothers?
A Milli Vanilli situation. And it's the other... Maybe it's a Milli Vanilli situation, and it's the other Teskey brother you're actually hearing.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not even less good behind the camera.
Yeah. All right, coming in at number two.
Number two.
This is my pick. This is Blitzen Trapper with Cheap Fantastical Takedown.
Let me feel your heart, baby, hear your heart. Tell me that there ain't a damn thing to pay for. A free, hazy, reckless kind of rundown world that we walk through, hoping that we find out, that we find our way. As we comically and tragically break down, it's all a cheap, fantastical takedown. But a good woman's gonna see through your plan, and she's gonna love you anyway, just because she can. Oh, damn.
I like that. I like the lyrics.
It's pretty cool.
There's a second verse about people who are 5'3" and 300 pounds.
Exactly. Ought not get welfare.
Ought not.
I think I first learned of Blitzen Trapper through the Sklars, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You, of course, speaking of Andy and Jacob, the Sklar brothers.
Yes.
Check out their book, Sklar Tissue. The tell-all autobiographical.
That's so funny.
No, shout out to them, of course.
Yeah, man. Coming in at number one.
Oh, number one.
This is Howard's pick. This is a very provocative pick. This could be a cold pick, I'm saying. But Zach Brown Band with Bohemian Rhapsody live. I can't even imagine.
I can't either.
Is this true?
Why would you cover this?
Is this just fantasy?
That's already a mixed harmony.
It's already.
Yeah, right? There's tapes being played, right?
Yeah. Open your eyes. Look up to the skies and see.
Sounds like if your dad's band is playing it, you know?
Right. I think even the Brits were probably like, why are they doing this?
Yeah.
We don't care.
And then if you're in the audience, you go, oh my God, we have 8 more minutes.
8 minutes.
Yeah. No, I'm going to go now. Do you want a beer? I'm going to go.
I'll go with you.
I'm going to go check out the palace, Piccadilly Circus. I'll come back. Yeah.
I like to like things, but this feels like a piano where a section of the keys don't work. Like their harmony, there's a bridge missing between notes that are missing.
Yeah. It's not quite skeleton blended.
Like independently, you can all tell these people can all sing, but it's just not.
Yeah. It's almost like if they were challenged to do it on a game show, I could say, okay, we got to throw it together.
Sure,
but why do it?
Or maybe a tribute concert. Everybody threw this together really quick. But it's sort of like, it's like a 2-layer cake made in a 3-layer pan.
Also, they're not making it different enough where you go, oh, cool, that's a different spin on it.
Right, yeah.
They're really trying to get through the original version.
Even Pentatonix did a more stirring version.
My favorite band is My Morning Jacket. And, you know, they do Rocket Man. They did Tyrone, a cover. Yeah. And it's so My Morning Jacket version of it that you're like, oh, this is awesome. It's not, it's.
Yeah, they didn't make it their own. I mean, they pulled it off. But I wouldn't say they made it their own.
Yeah, they pulled it off. It just... It's like when you try to, when you're a kid and you, that first time you try to take your pants off and leave your shoes on. You can pull them off.
It can be done. Yeah. But you'll never, you're not smart to ever
it's
do it.
It's not the
again.
Right way.
Well, I'll tell you also, since the age of YouTube, it's like there's 10-year-olds that could play that song. You know what I mean? Like there's just a lot of kids, and musicianship has become a little less impressive, I would say, probably. Just because you see 8-year-olds playing, you know, Moby Dick and stuff like that. But hey, shout
bold
out to
do
Brits
that
for
in England
through that.
Too. Yeah,
and
oh wow, I didn't know it was there.
Yeah, that was performed at Wembley.
It was
why just do something from the zombies, man?
Yeah,
something quick, 3 minutes. Hey, this was great. Thank you so much to Dan for coming in. Dan, you say you'll be at the High Plains Comedy Festival in Denver and dates throughout the country. Did you want to speak on that?
Yeah. That's the 20th, 21st, 22nd, I think, in Denver. And then I'll be in Vegas at MGM at Brad Garrett's Comedy Club. And then I'm opening night. I'm headlining 10,000 Laughs in Minneapolis. Plus, I'm doing Yuck Fest, headlining that. Festival is called that's in Boston, and everything is leading up to Chicago on 11/11. There's, if you're west of the Mississippi, there's a good chance I'm going to be near you. First place I've never been, like Raleigh, doing a great little theater down there. So everything is at danielvankirk.com.
Awesome. Thanks, man. Yeah, absolutely. Congrats on that. Go out and see that. How about you, Start?
Yeah, check out the newest venture. It's improvforhumans.com. We broke out at Earwolf Stitcher, one of the oldest shows there and one of the last to leave at this point. But we got like a full slate of bonus content over there and super excited about that. A lot of like improv educational stuff, which is obviously Besser's like superpower. So some really cool, unique stuff there. Go sign up. And it works very much the same way as Who Charted Pod. Which for fans of this show, if you haven't signed up yet, please go to whochartedpod.com. You can support the show that way and you get two charted every week. Howard and I are recording after Who Charted.
There you go. And also check out Grift Horse with Megan Beth Keister and Drop Date Duel coming at you every week. And we will see you right here next week on
Who Charted.